So open our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yield, the tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Let us pray. Dear Father, we have read from thy word this morning that you spoke of the law of life, the law of reproduction, as it came into being, and that law requires that each seed would bring forth after its own kind. Therefore, Father, if you are the author of life and have children, sons and daughters, then they truly, according to your word, must come forth in the image of the original. And we know, according to Hebrews 1, that Jesus Christ, your firstborn son, was the expressed image of your person. So we see then, Father, that your law of life, your law of reproduction is true. And being true for the firstborn, it must also be true for every born one that comes from thee. Therefore, help us this morning as we study this law of life, that we might have confidence in our birth, and knowing your promises concerning our life, and of whom we shall be conformed into the image thereof. For we ask it humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we've read from Genesis 1:11, the law of life, which says that every seed must come forth after its kind. Now there's no argument here. God said it, and we believe it. Therefore, when we read from Romans 8:29, that says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, the original seed, among many brethren." So how can they argue about that? That is what he said. And since every seed must come forth after the likeness of the original seed, then it is very apparent that we can know our future and our future likeness, that it will be the same as the Son of God. The Bible says, beloved, now it doesn't seem to be so. It says, now you're sons of God, but it doesn't really look like it. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every son, everyone, every child that has this hope in him begins to purify himself. That means you begin to purge this flesh. You begin to crucify this flesh. As I said before, I'll say again, Christ Jesus died that you might live. Now, will you die to self that he might live again in you? Now, we read in Ephesians 1 that we were in him before the foundations of the world. So having been in him and having him as our source of life, then why do we worry about our future outcome? He said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now look, half is past tense. We are already blessed in him. So why do we worry about the future? We must learn to rest in our destiny. He said, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him," or in his presence. And again he said that He has already chosen us in Him and determined that we shall be holy and we shall be without blame. Now look, if every seed must bring forth after its kind, then if we were in Him, and He said right here that we are already determined to be holy and without blame, then I think we need to start saying what He has said about us. Because having already chosen us in Him, He then sets our path to get there through predestination. We see the next verse in verse 5, in love having predestinated us, having already past tense, it's done. He set it in motion. It's not what He might do. It's not what you're hoping that He might do. He has already done it. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. It's not your begging for it. It's not your asking God to make me a better person. He's already set it in motion to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Now that brings us to paragraph 165 of the Spoken Word's original seed. Brother Branham says some really, really tremendous things in the next few verses here. All right, in Genesis 1, remember, every seed after its kind, it must forever be that way. There's all those types. A man would say, could believe, that the church will go through the tribulation period. I wonder where you ever get seed for that. When, well, you say, I believe it says this, that, and they'll do, that's all right. Did you notice back yonder where the rains fell on the other time? Where did it fall? Noah was in the ark before the judgment struck. Sodom was out of Lot was out of Sodom before it ever taken place. See, that's sure. We ain't going through no tribulation period. We're going in a rapture one of these days. Certainly. Why do you have to be judged? He stood my tribulation. Jesus Christ. There's where my tribulation takes place right there. Yeah, I accepted Him and free. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's right. Moses was safely protected with Israel while the tribulations fell. That's right. So get it out of your mind that you're going through tribulation period unless you've got a revelation that says you're a foolish virgin. But if you believe you're elect, God's not sending you through no tribulation. Tribulation comes from retribution. Why would a man have retribution against his wife? Or against the woman he wants to marry? Why would he try to get even? Retribute back to her. It's just, I tell you, we've got to get those things out of our mind. Now look, it may get pretty rough before it's over, but just remember, when those waves rose up to drown the disciples, where was Jesus? Resting in the boat. Asleep in the boat. Now we're afraid of this country falling apart. It'll fall apart, no problem. But I've been to 52 countries, or 51 countries. 52 countries. And I could live in any one of them if I had to. I don't want to. But all I'm saying is it can get pretty, pretty rough and you'll be back to the 1950s and 60s. Hey, those are good times. Oh, you might lose your TV sets. Praise God if you do. Might lose a few gadgets. Well, praise the Lord. You have more time to read a book. Might have a little bit of time to kind of come down to simplicity. I think that's what it's called, simplicity. Remember the good old days when you seemed to have time to do a lot more outside? Spend a lot of time outside? Maybe 12 hours a day outside? Today everybody's so busy, busy, busy doing nothing, getting nothing accomplished. Jesus was asleep in the boat when the tribulations, the storms were coming all around. Well, the apostles were pretty worried about it, but Jesus wasn't. You know why? He knew he had a job to finish. No devil of the sea could drown him. That wasn't the way he was supposed to go. brother, sister, you're elected, predestinated to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. If you see progress inside, then know one thing for sure. He which began the work is going to finish it. He's going to finish it. Jesus was focused on the promise for the hour. His promise for the hour. And what I'm trying to get across with these sermons on adoption, the trail of adoption, is that each son has a specific role to play in the family. And when God reveals to you what your role is in the family to play, that's what you should be focused on. You shouldn't be focused on what my role is. And my role is not the same as Brother Vail's role. And Brother Vail's role is not the same as Ron's role. We each have a role to play. And you know what? There is no big eyes in the family. There is no big ones in the family. Oh, well, praise God, he's the teacher, or he's the pastor. Hogwash. He's a brother. Well, he's a prophet of God. So what? Did he ask to be a prophet of God? Nope. That was a role given to him to play. Does it make him any better than you? Nope, not one inch. Not one inch. He's your brother. He's not an intercessor. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Your pastor's not your intercessor. He's not your mediator. The teacher, the prophet, he's not your mediator. He's not your intercessor. He's dead. He's passed over. He's on the other side. You can't contact him. That's spiritism. You see? Oh, but people try. And they're more Catholic than the Catholics are. There's one mediator between God and man. Say it in your mind. One mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus. He knew the storm was just a bluff. Just like when I was on that plane and the engine blew up, when the geese hit the turbine. The first thought that came to my mind was, well, here we go again. My daughter reached over, grabbed my hand. She said, Dad, I never knew what it would mean or what it would be like to die. I said, we're not going to die. I've got work to do. God has places to send me. It's not over for me. And if it's not over for me, you're sitting right next to me. It's not over for you. It's a bluff. The devil, look, the devil's a good adversary. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to try to interrupt the meetings. Try to get things all set up, you know, just confusion. He brought waves, he brought a storm, and Jesus just slept right through it. When you know that you are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, nothing's going to stop you from that. Nothing. No tribulation, no height, no depth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. We have a promise for this hour that we should be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, and that we are predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So until that happens, we are still on our road, and we're still on our way there. Like Billy Paul said when he told his daddy, he said, Daddy, the devil's after me, Brother Bram. Well, that's good, son. That's good, Paul. Good, he said. Dad said, yeah, good. Well, what do you mean that's good? He said, well, it shows he ain't got you yet. You see? All things work together for the good. So let's continue, paragraph 166. All right. Every seed must come after its kind. God made man in his image, after his kind, to be his word on earth. He expressed it in Jesus Christ. What was? God was in Christ. That's a man, M-A-N, a man after his kind. See, when God, which is the Word, how many knows he's the Word? When the Word was in Christ, a man, human man, expressing itself through him, that was God, the Word, in Christ, expressing himself. And God in the beginning made man in his own image, and that's the kind of man that God makes today. The seminary and the incubator hatchery turn out a bunch of hybrids, see, the schools. But when God calls a man, he's in his own image, the Word made alive in him. That's right. There he is. That's the God-man. Man in his own image, in his very likeness. And Jesus said that we will do the works that I do. He will do the works that I do. So God made man in his image, in his own image, after his kind. Now, in order to better understand what this image is that we're going to be made into the image of, we must know who God is, right? Well, John 1:1 says who he is and what he is. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So if God is the Word and we are made into the image of him, then we are to be the same image, then we must also be the Word, or the reflection of that Word. That's how Brother Branham said that God and Christ were one. He said God is a Word, and God expressed himself through Christ, making him one with the Father. That's how we become one with the Father. Jesus said the glory, the doxa, the opinion, your values, your opinions, Father, your values and your judgments which you gave me, I've given them that they might be one, even as we are one. You see? God wants to use your body. I don't care if you're a mechanic. I don't care if you're working on a machine. He wants to use your body. He wants to express himself to your co-workers, to your environment. That's why Brother Branham said in 167, he says, his kind. What is his kind? The Word. He is the Word. Then if a man denies God's Word, how can he be in God's image? Just ask the question. Ask yourself, how can he be in God's image and deny that Word, in God's Word? When the Word's expressed image of himself. Oh, he says it doesn't mean that. Expressed image of God saying, oh, I said it, but it didn't really mean it. I was wrong there. I back up. That was for some other time. I didn't mean it. Oh, mercy, trash. Slop of the devil that fed to Eve. Don't let him try to poke it down the elect's neck, though. No, sir, they won't believe that. Just come and join our gang. Join nothing. You got to be born, not joined, a new creature. That's why when I was talking to the ministers in Paraguay, after a little bit of a row in the morning, you know, well, we got quotes too. I said, listen. Where you're at, I was there 35 years ago. Don't tell me what you've got and what you don't have. I know every quote you're going to pull out. I know 1 John 5, verse 20. I know all the quotes that the oneness use and your oneness. And I said, the problem is, when you've got things Brother Branham said over here that don't agree with things he said over here, you throw out those ones over there, and that's wrong. Because throwing it out takes your life out of the book of life. Your name out of the book of life. I said, you've got to balance the two. Where he says Jesus was a man. And where he says Jesus was God. You've got to understand. You've got to, you're a bunch of lazy preachers, is what I told him. I said, so easy to say, well, I've got a thought here and my thought's right, so I can find one or two quotes to back up my thought and I'm okay. And you're going to throw out 300 or 3,000 quotes that say contrary to what you believe? You better take it all. And you better have a doctrine that takes it all, or your doctrine's wrong. Then how can they say that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and then make him his own father? As our Brother Branham said, the oneness are wrong. They make Jesus his own father. Tell me they're saying the same thing that God said. When he said, this is my beloved son. Does the word son have any meaning to you? Or is he really just saying, this is my beloved carcass in whom I'm pleased to dwell in? No, a son has a body. A son has a soul, and a son has a spirit of his own. Well, his life, his spirit came from his father. All sons' life come from their father, their life. But he's still got his own life. Your son's laying on your lap there. The life came from you, but he's got his own life. He's got his own soul, his own body. He's not you. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Or in whom I'm well pleased, as Brother Branham said it should be and pleased to dwell in. Now in 1 John 5 and 10, we read, he that believeth on the Son of God hath echoes the witness in himself. Well, what if you don't echo? Then there's no witness in you. What if you're not saying, what if you don't believe in the Son of God? These people that teach that Jesus was his own father, they do not believe he was a son. He can't be a son. A son has a birth. A son is an individual, separate being from his father. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar. Because he believes not the record that God gave of his son. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and the life is in his son. He that echoes the son echoes life, and he that echoes not the son echoes not life. He's not a reflector of life. So you see, you don't even echo the record that God gave of his son, and neither do they echo the son of God who said that God was his father. But that's not something that's totally a surprise, because Isaiah warned us that they would believe that way. Isaiah 53:1, he said, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the report? The NIV says, who hath believed our message? That's the report. And that's the question we should ask this morning. Who has believed God's report? I want you to notice this, because they will not say that Brother Branham said, they will not say what he said, even though they claim him to be their prophet. And because I say exactly what Brother Brown taught, and I show it by the scripture, they go behind my back and they call me a devil. Or they say they're my friend to my face. But then they go behind my back and tell others that I'm a devil. A good friend of mine went down to Bolivia last year. Claims to be a good friend of mine here. And down there, a brother went up and said, do you fellowship with Brian Kosorik? He said, I don't fellowship with Diablo. He's falso. Show me one quote, one scripture where I've twisted it for my advantage. Show me one. Of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, show me one. They can't do it. I've got 1,200 sermons in print on the internet. How many do they have in print? They won't print what they say. I print what I say. I'm honest. They're not honest. The same man, when I asked him last year, oh, no, I didn't say that. No, he said, I just said that, you know, you preach what you preach and I preach what I preach. Is that what you said? Well, I have 12 witnesses that said that you called me Diablo. Why did you call me Diablo? For what motive? What was your reason? Do I not teach what Brother Branham said? Do I not speak what Jesus said, what the Father said? But see, I'm not going to worry about it, because he's going to have to answer at the white throne. You see? Now, in John 15:20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So I'm not too worried about the name calling, because Jesus told me it would come. And in fact, he told me that it's not just enough to be like him. You know, that's what we want to be, don't we? Conform to the image of the firstborn son. And Jesus said, it's not enough to be like the Master. I must also be called what he was called. I mean, oh, there's quite a few quotes where they called him Beelzebub, which is Spanish for Diablo. Or in Spanish, it's Diablo. So actually, for my friend to call me Diablo places me right where Jesus said I would be. So he didn't realize it when he called me what Jesus said he would do. In Matthew 10:25, Jesus said, It is enough for the disciple that he is as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So thank you, brother, for fulfilling Scripture. Now let's continue from paragraph 168, where Brother Bram said, yes, in his own image of his own kind, to be his express word on earth. Now Jesus was God's express word. Do you believe that? Then what are we to be? Sons of God too? With the express word in the church? Carrying on that mystical body of Christ? Carrying on the same works that Jesus did when he was here on earth? See? That's the kind after his kind. Now, you can have the Lutheran kind, or the kind with the Lutheran, or after the Lutheran. The Methodist kind after the Methodist. The Catholic after the Catholic. The Pentecostal after the Pentecostal kind. The oneness after his kind. The Trinity after its kind. But if you're God's kind, that's different. See? You're the expressed image of the Word making itself manifest. Oh my, why? It's got to. If the water falls on it, it's got to do it. Then give him a birth, a tie. After God made man in his image, I don't think I got time for this next expression. It's a dandy, but I don't want to. All of God's words are dandy, see? And look here. where I was supposed to be at dinner time, I'm just about that far away from it. See, about 1/6 of it. All right, can I? Let's just leave it there. What do you say? And then we go, and now, and how many come back this afternoon? Raise your hand. Good. I don't want to keep you too long now, and I don't want to wear you out. And now you tape boys, you just leave the tapes run just a minute. And I'll cut it off just in a minute myself, all right? Sir, all right, sir. Now, our last thought here was that God made man in his own image after his kind. God made a man after his kind. You get it? A man after his kind. Well, what kind of a man was he? If you look back and see what he was when he was made flesh, that's the kind of man he makes. Is that right? A man after his kind. Amen. That's right, isn't it? That's his kind of man. Uh-huh. He said another time, one time to a man, he said, you're after my own heart, a man after his own heart. David, remember that? The Spirit of God in David. David, a rejected king. Always the anointed is rejected. David, the rejected king, went up the hill, went his own people, and I'll preach this for the next 3 minutes. When David's own people should be, his own kind, dethroned him, his son, and run him off the throne. Remember how we were talking about in the trail of adoption how Joseph, his own brothers, were the ones who rejected him and threw him into prison? They wanted to kill him. You know, they said, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. And they wanted to kill him. Why? They were jealous. Why? Because they had not come into their position in the family. Show me one place where any of those 12, those brothers, were positionally placed by the father. Now, Brother Branham said, when that happens, you get that beautiful coat. Remember, the father takes you up to high place. He gives you that beautiful coat. He positionally places you. And Joseph, at the age of 17, the Bible tells us, he was positionally placed in the family. He had duties. The father gave him duties to do. Go check up on your brothers. Ooh, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. Why didn't they get positionally placed? Because they weren't obedient sons. They had their own way about them. They wanted to do it their way. Father said, go check up on your brothers, then go check up on the sheep. Okay, Dad, whatever you want. And God honored him. Remember, all that he foreknew, he called. That's the first step in your path. That calling, Brother Brown said, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word. Until you act upon it, it's not going to do you any good. Until Moses stepped his foot into the water, it wasn't going to open. Until Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. It wasn't going to happen. Brother Brown said that was his greatest victory. And that's our greatest victory, is when you recognize that you're a son and step into it. Not just hearing and recognizing, but acting upon the word of God. You see? But why is it always family? The ones that are supposed to be your brothers and sisters, the ones that are supposed to be close to you, why are they the ones that stick the dagger the hardest? The Apostle Paul, for 8 years, those brothers wouldn't go near him. Gave him no support. Paul was out there doing God's bidding, his father's bidding. They wouldn't even listen to him. Paul had to come finally after 14 years. He wanted to check up his revelation. Found out that the church in Jerusalem was way off the word. They were into legalism. They were into politics. Putting people in, putting people out of the message. There's a group of them called that were Pharisees that took their denominational thinking right into the message with them. And Paul had a row with them face to face and called and said Peter was to be blamed. And Peter, James, and John, those so-called leaders, Paul said, so-called. You see, trying to puff themselves up. Well, Lord, you know, when you get your kingdom, can I sit on your right hand? Can I sit on your left hand? He said, sorry, boys, it's not mine to give to you. No big ones, no little ones in the kingdom. We're all brothers and sisters. Oh, isn't that a shame? We can't be Nicolaitan. We can't be lords over God's heritage. No, we can't. I'm sorry, boys, but you're all brothers. You're all part of the same family. No big ones, no little ones. We have an eldest brother. That's it. An eldest brother in a vast, vast family of brothers. And he's the only one that God entered into fully. I'm sorry, but people want to make Brother Branham God. They want to say God was that body, you know, that God was incarnate in William Branham. He was not incarnate in William Branham. Brother Branham said, you know who I'm waiting for. Now, if you're waiting for something, he's not incarnate. I'm waiting for him. And people can't see that. I don't know. I just don't understand. There's one mediator between God and man. One mediator between God and man. One mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. Just one. Not Mary. Not Joseph. Not William Branham. Not Paul. Not Moses. There's one mediator. And that's Jesus Christ. When David's own people should be, his own kind dethroned him, his own son, and run him off the throne. David went down there, and even one of them come out there spitting on him, that anointed king. This little old guy come along crippled up in his doctrine. I like that, Brother Branham, the way he sees that. The man was crippled, the Bible says. And Brother Branham said, the Bible said he was crippled, you know. So Brother Branham said he was crippled in his doctrine. And he went along spitting on that king. Watch Christ, spitting on him. That messenger by his side, an angel representing him, pulled a sword and said, should the head of that dog stay on, spit on my king? That angel said, I'll strike him dead. And David said, put up your sword. I have to do this. Went up to the top of the hill of Jerusalem, looked back down a rejected king, and he wept. 800 years from there, the son of David, the spirit that was in David in a portion, stood on the same hill, a rejected king being spit on and made fun of. Is that right? I can imagine, God said. That angel was walking along with him when he went up to Calvary like that. Shall the head of that dog stay on him? Let him alone. Oh my, there's coming a time. But what about David when he come back? Well, the story changed. David come riding in triumph. This fellow runs screaming for mercy. Sure, let him alone. He will come someday in power. Then the laugh will turn the other way. That's right. Just let them alone. And that's what the Lord told me about the person who called me Diablo. Let him alone. Don't confront him. He'll have to deal with God. But God said, David, you're a man after my own heart. When God creates a man, he's of his kind. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I sin not against you, Lord. Only thing he needed was the rain. David would have been all right if he could have just had that rain, but the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet. He had the word. The word was in him, and he could know it. And he said, I've hid it in my heart, Lord. It won't bloom out and act like it should, but I've hid it there, Lord. I've hid it. But when Jesus came, which was the Word made manifest, took the germ life out of it and bring it back to the Word now. And if David's cup run over, what ought ours to do without the Spirit? Amen. Isn't he wonderful? You love him? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Isn't he? How many loves it? How many loves him? Oh, my. He is wonderful. Now, how could Jesus be a man in the image of his Father if he wasn't even a man? I ask the question. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry time in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But according to the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now my question to them. They believe that Jesus was just a carcass. It was a coat. And if I took off my coat, look, if that was just a coat, no body, soul, spirit, just a body, just a coat, and it could be hung on a cross, why can't I hang this coat on a cross? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why couldn't he just take 1,000 coats, cattle coats, or even human skins, like Jeffrey Dahmer or whoever? Remember that Tammy Hyde when I'm dead, Fred? That song from the 60s, the guy in Wisconsin that hung the people's skin on his barn. So if that was just a skin that was hanging on the cross, what good is it? It was a person. It was the only person that was born without sin, in whom God could live in that body. And that was his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But David said, or Isaiah said, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness." God anointing his Son. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I ask the question, are you coming to the image? Are you going about doing good? Are you healing all those you can? Or those that God directs you to? Come on. Are you healing your own marriage? Your own families? Your own personal relationship? Are you doing good? Or do you want things your way? You want anybody to talk to you? In the message, Elisha the prophet, Brother Bram said, and Jesus, the baptism that he had was a baptism of the Holy Ghost, which was in him, that came on him at the River Jordan after he was baptized. John bare record. He's seeing the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon him. And notice, when he went up, he sent back that same robe that he was wrapped in, the Holy Ghost, upon the church. The same life that was in Jesus Christ is in you and I, if we be not reprobates. From the maniac of Gadara, Brother Anderson, some of them said, well, now he's just a man. Well, I admit he was a man, but he was more than a man. And some of them said, well, he was a prophet. Yeah, that's right. But he was more than a prophet. He was God. Jesus Christ was God manifested in flesh. Jehovah God, his Father, overshadowed the Virgin Mary and formed in her a blood cell which made the Son, Christ Jesus. And at the baptism, he lived as a man until he was baptized by John at Jordan. And immediately after his baptism, John bare record, seeing the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven and descending upon him and going upon him. And before that time, John heard a voice in the wilderness that told him, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, that's the one that I'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Jesus said, when he's here on earth, that I do nothing of myself. It's not me, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. See, now the Bible said that God the Father was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. See, so he was more than a man. He was a God-man. He was not a God-man. He was the God-man. Because you and I are God-man. You know that? If the Spirit of God dwells in us, we're God-man. We are God-man, but we're not the God-man. There's only one. And that was our older brother, Jesus. And notice Brother Brown said he lived as a man, completely just as a man, until God entered in him. You see, this is what they don't understand. They think you're trying to minimize somehow God by showing, by exalting the Son of God. That's what it is. Oh, you're minimizing God. God died on the cross. Well, in a way he did, but in a way he didn't. Because it was Jesus Christ that died. He's the one that paid the price. God just used his body to live in for 3.5 years. To manifest himself to mankind. But God had to leave him so he could die as a man. God cannot die, brother, sister. God cannot die. He's the immortal king. He cannot die. Let's get our theology straight. Now, another thing I want to say is like pulling teeth for some of the brethren to admit that Jesus was a man. Now, Brother Branham said in so many times, it's hard to find them all. But so did the Scriptures call him a man. Yet they think it is degrading or something to say, or somehow, saying that Jesus was a man and that God dwelt in him. As though the man, the body, was itself God. In fact, that is what they believe and they teach it so contrary to what Brother Branham taught. After giving one of the ministers 4 times, I read him quotes from Brother Brown said, the man, the body, was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. Then I said a few other things, and I came back. I said, now, do you believe the body of Jesus was deity? He said, yes, it was. I said, you don't believe Brother Brown. I said, look, I just gave you 4 quotes from Brother Brown where he said he didn't. He wasn't. And you're trying to tell me he was? Well, I have a quote where he said he was. I said, you can't find a quote where Brother Brown said the body was deity. You cannot find a quote. It's not there. I said, if you've got a poor translation. I said, furthermore, you've got 200 sermons, if that, maybe 125 sermons of Brother Branham's in Spanish, translated to Spanish. I said, there's 1,200, my brother. You got less than 10% of what's there. I said, furthermore, who taught you? Yes, who taught you? You taught yourself. And that same church age book you're trying to quote me from. The same church age book says that the light comes to a vindicated prophet. And then it goes out from men who have been faithfully taught. I said, faithfully taught means you shut up and listen. I said, you didn't come to listen. You came to debate. Going through there with you, trying to find all your quotes together. You came to debate. Brother Vail sat at the feet of Brother Branham. Brother Branham only said, there's one man. He only said one man. He never said anything about Perry Green. He never said anything about Ewald Frank, Brother Garcia, Eddie Biscoe. He never mentioned those men as knowing this message. He might have said they're good brothers, might have said some had the Holy Ghost, whatever. But they went hunting with him. It's a far cry to go hunting than to sit and talk, hammer out doctrine. And Brother Vail sat with Brother Branham, and they hammered on the doctrine, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, making sure they had scripture. Yeah. That's a different type of relationship than going out and shooting a few rounds of ammo. Big difference. Big difference. The Apostle Paul sat and learned verse upon verse upon verse while the other 12 just went fishing with Jesus. Now, I'm not minimizing those brothers as brothers, but they're not the one that Brother Branham said, there's no man that understands me or this message like Lee Vail. And I said, I've sat 35 years at his feet, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, who taught you? I just ask you the question, who taught you? Because there's men, oh yeah, men who put up a notice on some of the churches down there and said, Bernie Garcia, signed by Bernie Garcia, signed by John Martin. Bernie Garcia is over all the Spanish-speaking peoples. And John Martin is over all the English-speaking peoples. Who gave them the authority? False prophets. It's on tape now. False prophets. Who gave them the authority? It wasn't William Branham. It was themselves. And when they got together, after Brother Branham died, they got together. They had a little powwow. About four or five of them. I could say their names right now. And they called Brother Vail and they said, we've dished up the world. And Brother Vail, we've given you the East. And he said, go to hell. Who do you think you are lording over God's heritage? There is no big eyes in this message. Get it out of your thinking. There is no big eyes in this message. God has called each of us as sons to step into our role. Whatever your role might be. It might be a housewife. You better be a good Christian housewife. No cussing, no boogie-woogie music. Live your life for Christ. Be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Be sweet to your husband. That's part of being a wife. Sweet to your husband. That's right. It's time that you quit being human dummies. Quit being babies. Gotta have it my way. No. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's put Christ first. Well, I've got certain goals I want to meet in my life. So what? God has certain goals He wants for your life. What's more important? Your goals or God's goals? Come on. Forget your goals. Just put them aside and be Christ for a day or two. No, let's be Christ until you get your change. You're focused on your goals, you're not going to get them that way. Focus on His goals. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. Anything God wants you to have, it'll be there. But get your focus right. Oh, I tried for years and years and years. I tried to serve two masters. Tried to work this, work that, work this, work that. Thinking, well, I'm serving my family. Now, let me tell you something. For 2 years now, I've been basically full-time in the ministry, period. And God is meeting my needs more now than He ever met before when I was working three jobs. And God will meet your needs if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Oh yeah. He'll give you the desire of your heart. It's one of His benefits. Remember the benefits of Christ we studied? In Acts 2:22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. A man approved of God. That's Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. John 3:2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except that God is with you. Oh yeah, a man, and yet God's with him. That's the difference. Not just a man like the Jehovah Witnesses would say, but the God-man, because God was in him. Brother Bram said from Total Deliverance, he said Jesus was completely, totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. What about you and me? I know we've got it by measure. But how about if we let that measure ferment? How about if we let that measure increase? How? By piling word upon word upon word. The measure that was in Jesus began as just an egg and sperm placed in the womb of Mary. But when cell was added upon cell, it was word upon word upon word. So much that by the age of 30, God said, boy, this guy, this young man, he's so like me. He's so much about my business, I'm going to enter him and use him. What about you and I? You say, well, God can't use me, I'm just a housewife. God can't use me, I'm just a clerk in the office. He can't. You're pretty limiting the great God who created every cell in your body. The great God who created every atom in this world. You're going to limit Him? How much He can use you? I want to tell you something. 1983, something spoke to me and said, start writing down your script, your sermons, and keep them because someday people around the world will read them. And I'm thinking in my mind, Brother Branham said there'd be no history. Why write it? Why write it? Now my sermons are translated into 9 different languages around the world. Why? I was faithful to write down my sermons beforehand and have those sermon notes available. Listen when God talks to you. And be obedient. Step into what He says, and you watch how you'll be blessed. And remember, as we said, all that He called, He justified. What's justification? It's you're justified by faith. It's revelation. All that He calls, you step into that calling, and God begins to reveal to you more and more and more about that calling. And you watch how it grows. Brother Branham, when the angel said, just don't drink, smoke, or defile your body in any way. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body anyway. 3 little things to be obedient in. So on Saturday night, what did he do? He swam out and unset his traps so that he wouldn't kill anything and it wouldn't sit there and basically rot on the Sabbath, on God's day. A 12-year-old boy honoring God so much that God gave him more revelation, more revelation, more revelation. One of the greatest ministries that ever struck the earth. Jesus, the Son of God, 12 years old. Well, your father and I have been looking all over for you. Must not you know that I must be about my father's business? So much for Mary's testimony. Your father and I, Joseph, and your father and I have been looking for you all these days. So much for her testimony. The word corrected the air. Don't you know that I must be about my father's business? The word came to the temple. Hallelujah. So much so, Joseph, so much so, David, so much so, Paul, so much so. How about you and I? Why do we sit and fuss and fuss and fuss with ourselves? Why can't we enter in and do what God has called us to do? To be the reflection of His Word in earth as God has called us to be? Now, I'm not saying our brothers won't be there. The 12 who turned against Joseph will be there in the New Jerusalem. The 12 that wouldn't help Paul one lick will be there in the New Jerusalem. But let me just say this. If you're waiting on something, you better not be. Because one day you're going to have to find your place. Because only adopted sons are going in a rapture. Paul said to the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And only those with redempted bodies are going. And how do we get that change? That transformation? By the renewing of the mind. It's time you step into your role. Joseph Branham, just last week, or while I was down there, Brother Roger Gerard was telling me, he met Joseph down in Tucson. He said, what are you doing down here? He said, well, I've been to the mountain to pray. He said, I'm really troubled by what's going on at the tabernacle. I've been to the mountain to pray. And then Joseph got very excited. He said, did you realize that we are manifested sons? The same thing I've been preaching now around the world for 3 years. The same thing that's been changing people, changing churches. The brethren over in Poland last year. Before that, they both claimed to believe Brother Vail and all they claimed to believe the doctrine. They were fussing with each other, wouldn't have anything to do. Now they're getting together. They've gotten together several times. They're working together. They're cooperating. Why? Because they recognize that, look, each of you might get offended because of your brother, your sister. Oh, they didn't do this for me, or they didn't say this to me, or whatever. Forget it. Get your focus. Like Jesus said to Peter, he said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Get your eyes off of John. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Well, you just asked me that, Lord. Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. A few minutes later, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Then right after he said that, then Peter looked at John following behind. He said, well, what about him? See, Jesus said, you missed the point. The point is I want you to feed the sheep. Don't worry about John. I'll deal with him directly. You see, as a father, I talk to each of my daughters. I express my love to them. I don't give one a hug and say, oh, just pass this along. Here, Chrissy, I love you. And I hug on you and just pass it along to Sarah, Elizabeth. I give them each the attention. I give them each a personal relationship as their father. You see? And if I have something for them to do, I will talk to them directly. I won't say, oh, go tell so-and-so to do this. No, that's not the way it works with a father. You talk to them directly. You tell them how much you love them, how you appreciate them. Your relationship is with them individually. And God is more than capable to love each and every one of us. And He loves us the same. And He loves us abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah. But what about us? Well, we're focused on other, aren't we? We're focused on other. Why? Why? Well, you know, they said so-and-so. That's their problem. Well, you know, they agitate. That's their problem. That's their problem. If they want to do those things, that's their problem. They're going to have to answer for it. Well, they said so-and-so. Well, if they don't make it right this side of the resurrection, they're going to have to make it right the other side. What would you rather do? Stand at the white throne and have, before everybody, have to make things right, or make things right on this side? I think I'd rather fess up to it one-to-one on this side. And if I included anybody else in my smearing, then I need to make it right with them too. Because the woman came up to Brother Branham. He said, what are you coming up here for prayer? He said, you've committed adultery against your husband. He said, you better make it right before you come up here, or it's going to be broadcast before all. What do you think the white throne is going to be? Well, I'll put it off till then. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. You talk about egg on your face. You talk about embarrassment. Now listen, you can do everything you want to store up treasure here on earth right now. It's going to be taken from you. You're not taking it with you. How about if we begin to store up treasure? How do I do that? If you give a cold glass of water in my name, it'll never be forgotten this side or the other side. Like Sarah, she makes bread. That's a gift. And she gives it as a gift. That's a treasure storing up. Patty makes the greatest fried chicken. When Billy Paul comes, he loves fried chicken. I'm going to see if he wants to have a meal here. Would you be willing to make him fried chicken? All right. Billy Paul loves fried chicken, and he loves mashed potatoes and gravy. So I'll ask him if that's what he wants. That's what he's going to get. You see, if you know somebody likes something, then do that thing for that person. It's not skin off your back. Storing up treasure. It's the little things. The Shunammite woman, she gave the last morsels of bread and oil. That's all she had. And that's what she gave, is all she had. And what a tremendous blessing that came back upon her. Just a morsel of bread? A little bit of oil? Yes. Just a little bit of bread. A little bit of oil. You see, let God step into you. Use your body. Whatsoever you do unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Jesus was completely, totally a man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being, but in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. Can we make our flesh submissive to the spirit that's in us? Now, I know you all have that modicum of spirit in you that says, don't do that. Can you listen to it? Can you listen to it? He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations like we do. Like we do, but he didn't give in. Why? He made his flesh submissive to his spirit. The Bible said he did. He was a man, not an angel, above temptation. Hebrews 1 said Hebrews 1 and 4, he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man. That God took a complete man to bring total deliverance, and he filled him with his spirit. The Holy Ghost was in him without measure, and he was tempted like we were, and he was completely God. He proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped nature, the roaring seas and the mighty winds, when he spoke to the trees and so forth, they obeyed him. He was God inside, and he could have been man, for he was a man, but he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God, and he is our example. Hallelujah. We have a pattern, don't we? Don't ever forget that pattern. And don't ever forget the path. Because the path is, listen, you know, they call it the path of least resistance. Well, the fact is that we have resistance. That's on purpose. Why does God let the rejection happen from your brothers and sisters? Why does God allow these things to happen? Because he's testing you to see if you're going to go with peer pressure or you're going to go listen to him, be obedient. Huh? Peer pressure, you kind of conform and say, yeah, he's Diablo. Or peer pressure says, well, you know what? He's my brother. I don't buckle to peer pressure. I love him. He's doing what he feels led to do. I'm doing what I feel led to do. He's my brother. Maybe we don't see eye to eye exactly on everything, but you know what? I don't see eye to eye with you either, brother. That's a man of God. You understand? Don't buckle to peer pressure. Buckle to God pressure. Be honest and open like Joseph was. Well, I want you to go check up on your brothers. Do I have to, Dad? He didn't say that, did he? He said, whatever you want me to do, Dad, I'm willing to do it. Because, you know what? This is your family. I'm just one of the many. But you know what God did? God said, you know what? I like that attitude. You see, he stepped into what I want him to do. And now I'm going to show him greater and greater and greater. The man that just buried his treasure, he got it taken away, didn't he? But the man that invested his 5 got 10. Huh? Are you willing to make an investment in this for all eternity? Doesn't look like a very good investment when you see it gaining weight. But listen, put your investment in your sonship. All right? He was a man, not an angel, above temptation. Hebrews 1:4. He was made lower than the angels, etc. But he was God inside. And he could have been a man, for he was a man. And he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. And he is our example. What did Paul say? Romans 12. Let's turn to it. Romans 12. Let's just read verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. In other words, every man that has his hope purges himself. You see? Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. How many scriptures and quotes from Brother Branham can we read where Brother Branham called him a man? Let's get our definitions right. A man is a body, soul, and spirit, right? Jesus had body, soul, and spirit. And Jesus always called himself Son of Man to identify himself with men, that he was a man. From Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, you see what Jesus was then? He was manifested. That was God manifested in a man called Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God, promising. As it was in the days of Noah, every other scene is said exactly, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And John 13:31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. John 12:23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 9:11, he answered and said unto them, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. A man did this for me. A man did this. John 3:2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabboni, or Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Luke 9:58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds have air, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, how could God increase in anything? You see, Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said, well, some say you're Jeremiah the prophet. Oh, where do you get that from? Some say John the Baptist. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see? Mark 15:34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, Jesus had a God. Then who was God? You see? Jesus was a man. A man. Not an angel. A man. And God lived in that man. Manifesting. That was Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour. Look, Jesus, God wants to live in you, to manifest himself through you. That doesn't make you God. God manifested himself through William Branham. Brother Branham was so conformed to the image of the firstborn son that people thought he was the firstborn son. Didn't make him the firstborn son. He said he wants to borrow my body. I'll loan it to him, give it to him, whatever he can get out of it. Don't you see, people? God is trying to use you. He wants to live in you. Will you please, please, please just let go? Quit being human. Sorry to say that. But quit being human. Let's be sons and daughters of God. Because if you're sons of God, you are God's. That's right. You're sons and daughters of God. The Word wants to be manifested in your flesh. From Satan's Eden. God will take it back someday through a man. It was surrendered by a woman, but it was redeemed by a man, the man Jesus Christ, which is the Word. Ephesians, church age. We have one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ. That's right. That's what Peter said. That's what Paul said. Brother Bram quotes this scripture at least several dozen times. From palmworm, locust, and caterpillar, anything that communes with the dead, I don't care what it is, it's the devil. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ. From Joseph the Father, there had to be an atonement made in his body. The man, Jesus, was made a sacrifice willingly. From Serpent Seed, Brother Rand said, I hope I don't hurt your feelings, but I'm pinning that to this tabernacle. You hear at the tabernacle, abstain from such stuff. Anything that believes in a communion of saints is spiritualism. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. I don't care how many Marys there is. From the healing line, he said, I'm not able to do that, or no man is able to do that, only the man, Jesus Christ, who has already done it for you. From look away to Jesus, you'll never see him because he was just an ordinary man. God deals with men. Jesus was a man. God was in the man, and he was God. Okay, that's how that was Emmanuel. That's how that was God manifested in flesh, because God was in the man. All right, doesn't make the man just like I have a glass of water. Doesn't make the glass water. It's a glass of water. There's water in the glass. I don't drink the glass. I drink the water. All right, there's a difference between the vessel and what's in the vessel. Questions and answers, conduct, order, and doctrine. Now we know, brethren, that man cannot be God. Man, yet he is a God. Each one of you are a God. You was made to be a God, but not while you're in this life. See? Jesus was a man just like we are. Well, if he's a man just like we are, then let's not try to make him something that he wasn't. Jesus was a man just like we are, but God was in him. The fullness of God was in him. We have the Spirit by measure. So the only difference between you and Jesus Christ is the measure. That's it, the measure. Hallelujah. Hebrews part 2, Conqueror and Doctrine. The Father was Almighty God, Jehovah God, dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man, God is a spirit, and no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. He was, his personality, his being, his deity, whatever he was God. He was nothing less or nothing more than God, yet he was a man. He was a man, a house that God dwelt in. That's right, he was God's dwelling place. So what you saw in the declaration was God. What you saw in William Branham, that was God that could raise the dead. That was God that healed the blind. That was God that gave sight to the blind and gave hearing to the deaf. But the man wasn't God. No, he was a vessel God used. You see? From manifested sons of God, Brother Branham said, now you Trinitarian brethren, I'm not wanting to hurt you. But how in the name of the good word of God could you ever place Jesus being a separate person from God himself? Now, I want you to listen carefully. If Jesus could take another person and make him go and die to redeem this person here, he would be an unjust being. There's only one way that God could ever do it, would be to take the place himself. And God became flesh that he might taste the pains of death, to take the sting and death away from us, that we might be redeemed by his own. That's why he will be so worshipped. Jesus was a man. Sure he was. He was a man. M-A-N. Born in the Virgin Mary. But the Spirit that was in him was God without measure. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was Jehovah. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Manasseh. He was Jehovah our shield and buckler, our healer. He was Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was the first, the last. He was, which is, which shall be, the root and offering of David, the morning star. Why, he's the all of it. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't let that quote throw you. Because Brother Branham comes back, he says he was a man, but God was in the man. You see, that's what made him Jehovah Jireh and all those other things. From conference with God, there was a time after a perfect life of 33 and a half years had been lived, a man who wanted to live as much as I want to live. As much as you want to live. A man who had something to live for. Brethren that he loved. People that he loved. Sunsets that he liked to see. Remember, Jesus was a man, but God was in him. There come a time, the Spirit that was leading the Lamb, the dove, there had to be a conference between the Lamb and the dove. And they formed a place to set it. After the supper that night, they crossed over a little brook, Cedron, or somewhere, and went across the brook and went into the garden called Gethsemane. They had to have a conference. God and Christ had to talk it over. The Lamb and the dove had to sit together. It was the dove. It was the dove that had to talk to the lamb, and it was the lamb's death. So what's he saying? Look, Brother Branham said Jesus' greatest victory was in Gethsemane. When is your greatest victory? Do you know when it took place? When you surrendered yourself? I know when I did. I was on that plane going to England. And then from there to Norway. And I said, Father, I just want to be like your son. Wherever you want to send me, I'll go, provided you open the doors. I want you to use my body. I want to loan it to you just like your son did. Now, does that mean that I'm a perfect human example of the Word of God made flesh? Absolutely not. I still struggle with this flesh, as Paul called it, the body of this death. I'm very human in many ways. In many ways, I'm not proud of it either. But the fact is that I know what God is using this body and what He's doing. Around the world, it's gone. What? Leading sons to a knowledge of who they are. From questions and answers, he said, now, you know that John was just a man, and so was Jesus just a man. Jesus just a man. He was born of a woman, had to die. Is that right? He was a man, had to eat and drink, and hungered, cried, thirsted, everything, just as human as you and I are, as human as I am. But the Spirit of God in him was the fullness without measure. Amen. From blind Bartimaeus, he said, Jesus didn't heal people. He only healed as God showed him to heal. How many knows that? John 5:19, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father doing. And then when he stood before the people, why, he could tell them the reason that they knew that he was the Son of God and was a prophet that Moses spoke of, because he was a God prophet. See, the reason I say prophet, God prophet, that don't seem to take too well with you. Maybe I'll explain it to you. Jesus was a man. He was just a man, a virgin-born man. That's right. He was the Son of God. His father was Jehovah, God Almighty. That's right. And then Jehovah built him a house, which it was his son, to represent himself to the world. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Is that right? That was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You see, why can't people separate the spirit and the body? Why can't people separate God and the Son of God? And understand that when you saw that vessel, that was a dual being. Two inhabiting the same house, but only one controlling. I like that. Only one controlling, because Jesus surrendered his will to the will of the Father. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. From the inner veil, Brother answered, it's your faith in God. That's the only thing that will ever heal a sick person, is their personal faith in God. Not what some man can do for you. It's what the man Christ Jesus has already done for you. And from seal of the Antichrist, when you think that Jesus was just a man, he was more than a man. He was the divine one. God was in him, reconciling the world to himself. And then he said, there was only one holy person ever born, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, that was created in the womb of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he gave his life to redeem us back to God again. From paradox, Brother Anson, now the Bible says that the New Testament now, that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Do you believe that? The only high priest we have, the only intercessor we have between God and man, is the man Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? The Bible said he is the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And from we would see Jesus, Brother Branham said, he was the Son of God. So he said in St. John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, the man, the flesh, the baby, the boy, the man, Christ Jesus, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. In other words, the Father shows me a vision, what to do, and I just do that and nothing else. See? Now, the words. We all know that's inspired now. Jesus did anything outside of that, that scripture is wrong. Verily, verily, that's absolutely, absolutely, I say unto thee, that's Jesus, the body, the man, the Son of Mary. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees, not hears, sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son likewise. Sign of the Messiah, I always do that which pleases, or is pleasing to my Father. Can we have the same testimony? I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. Can we at least say, 80% of the time, I always do that which is pleasing to my Father? How about 70%? Anybody got 50? 50%? Jesus said, I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. You see, that's without measure. You and I got to measure. Some might be 30, some 60, some 90, like the scripture says. Huh? Okay. Thirsting for life. And we're no more, we're no greater than one another. I like this quote. And we're no more. We're not greater than one another. We're all the same. If a person isn't no more than a little housewife, she's just as much in the kingdom of God as the apostle or the prophet or whatever he is. She's God's child, and there's no difference in us. God put some to do one thing and some another. That don't make us above anyone. That's just God chose us. That's the reason I differ with the Catholic belief in intercession of saints or the Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary is a wonderful woman, certainly. She brought the Lord Jesus to the earth by the command of God. But he could have used anybody else that he wanted to. She's not a god or goddess. She's just a woman. She's in glory. Certainly she is. But she's no way at all for to intercede. There's no scripture in the Bible for that. There's one intercessor between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. None other. Anything different from that? Anything that intercedes for you? Any saint? Any person outside of that is purely high form of spiritualism. The dead are passed on. They're in the presence of God but cannot intercede. That's exactly right. Spiritualists believe that. But not Bible teaching doesn't believe that. From 1 Timothy 2 and 5, there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And from Show Us the Father, and it'll satisfy, Brother Brown said, why? Why was that little old boat tossed around like that? It was the man that was sleeping. But it was God who could stop the waves. It was the man who cried going to Lazarus' grave. But it was God who raised the dead. The man Christ Jesus cried. He was a man. But God was in him. He could speak to the dead and it lived again. The man that was in Christ Jesus himself, he could hunger and want for something to eat around that tree. But the God-man that was in him could take 5 biscuits and feed 5,000. God was in his Son reconciling the world to himself. These are tremendous quotes that Brother Branham's here. From Question and Answers on Genesis, and God came down in the image of a man, in the man Christ Jesus, to suffer pain. God could not suffer pain in the Spirit. How could he suffer physical pain in the spirit? He couldn't do it. So God unfolded himself and was made in the image of a man to redeem the man that was lost. See? And then God suffered in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, that's without argument. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached on, and believed and received up to the right hand of the Father. Is that right? God himself came down and lived in a human body and suffered temptation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See what love is? The love of God. And from healing what sickness is, Brother Ram said, Jehovah God overshadowed her and created her in her womb a blood cell, which was by himself a created power. And from that blood cell came the man Christ Jesus. And he was the blood of his Father by a virgin birth. And that's the blood that I'm preaching about tonight, that both saves and heals, that unadulterated blood of the Son of God. And friends, if you don't believe that, then you can't be saved. No other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the blood of his Father God, unadulterated, no sex mixed into it at all. It was a created birth. I like that. A created birth. You believe that? That's the truth. That's the true gospel, friends. And from Uncertain Sound, he said, where is the God of Jesus Christ? Where is the God that made this promise in the Bible? So Brother Ram said there is a God of Jesus Christ. From 1 Peter 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3 is a witness. And from position of a believer in Christ, Brother Ram said, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, the fellow said, I can be a Christian and stay home just as well. No, you can't. You've got to be together with the rest of your body. He has blessed us together in heavenly places in Christ. So you want to just stick home, stay home, like a lot of people do, just listen to tapes, stick home. There's no blessings. Because he said, we're blessed. He has blessed us together in heavenly places in Christ. See, I love Brother Branham's, the way he argues a point. It's tremendous. From Palmer, Locust, and Caterpillar, he said, and if the oneness, you disagree with the oneness because of their standing like that? Yes, sir, Jesus had a father. He was God. From Question and Answer, he said, I do not believe that Jesus could be his own father. I believe that Jesus had a father and that was God. But God dwelled in tabernacle in this body called Jesus, and he was Emmanuel, God with us. And there's no other God besides this God. He is the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, the Lord, Son, Jesus, Holy Ghost, Logos, Spirit of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus Christ, that's him. And in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we've seen many, many quotes and scriptures where you have shown us that Jesus was a man, and yet you lived in that man. You tabernacled deity in the man. You came to express yourself through the man, but then you had to leave the man so that he could die for our sin. And we thank you for that blood, because it was your blood. You created that egg and sperm, and then you came to live in it. at the River Jordan. You came to dwell in that body alongside of your son to manifest yourself to the world. And he was an obedient son. And so, Father, with fullness of measure in him, he was completely obedient to it. With the little measure that we have, Father, may we be obedient to it. And so, Father, we just pray that maybe we don't have visions, maybe we don't have dreams where you can show us what to do, but we have your word. And your word is greater than your visions, your word is greater than your dreams, because even Brother Branham had to check the visions by your word. So, Father, you as a father have told us what to do in your word. Help us, Father, to be obedient to your word, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name, that we might fulfill our destiny to be adopted into the family, to be placed positionally into the family as adopted sons, and be conformed to the image of your firstborn son. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able. And Wednesday night, no service. We're going to try to get the bathroom downstairs fixed up. I want to get everything, and then I want all the sisters to come as well, because we need a real good cleaning. I want to have Billy Paul come up and in the next few weeks or so. And so we really need to get all these things done. Also, Good Friday, we're going to be having a church dedication. This church here, we built Brother Dwight Hall, a church down in the Carolinas. It's a little bit smaller than this. It's about 20 by 12. And then has a foyer. But anyway, you're all invited. And if anybody needs help with gas to go, just let me know. And but we'll have a good Friday meeting there. There'll be about five churches coming together in the area. And then Saturday morning, 10:30, we'll have a meeting down there. And then they'll give us the afternoon to get home so that we can have our own Easter Sunday service here. All right. God bless you.
I'm so glad, part of the family of God, washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad. The family